of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Thanks to Brian Balaga, Awa, for spending some extra time with us as he gets ready.
You had like a twitch?
That was the wink. I winked. I don't think winks translate well. I think he needs to smirk.
No, wink. I think the wink, but not the way you just did it. Your wink is like a head jerk. Ugh.
Well,
like you're spasming.
I appreciate you just calling me a spaz and critiquing my winking.
No, I didn't say you're a spaz. I said your head is spasming. There's a difference. Critique the action, not the player. Is that not what you always
I just
say?
Don't think winks work. Ah! I just don't. I'm not a wink guy. Winker. Jesse Winker. Jesse Nelson. Jesse Owens. I'm down on the wink. But we'll see. I hope it happens. I hope Cooper DeJean is the pick, so Bulaga has to come up with something. But I do think there'll be a you-know-what eating grin on his face as he strides to the podium, if that's the pick, that's for sure. Jesse, you got some texts that have been backed up because we spent so much time talking to Blue.
Yeah, let's talk for a minute about some of the other things that happened last night. Here's a text from Ryan in Milwaukee. Vikings drafting J.J. McCarthy reminds me a lot of Christian Ponder. The current Vikings have better weapons, but as a Packer fan, I'm not upset by that pick at all. What do you think of that pick last night for the Vikings?
I think McCarthy needs to be in a perfect system with, you know, a good coach, which I think we all think Minnesota's coach is pretty good. Their system's pretty good. Their talent is pretty good. But I wouldn't compare him to Christian Ponder yet. I think that's, you know, probably not fair. But he's got a big ask in front of him, and they're going to be putting him right into the fire right from the jump.
You think so?
Everybody.
You don't think they play? They don't play the journeyman from the Jets?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Maybe they'll play Sam Darnold a little bit, but I think it's pretty apparent. They've given up a lot.
They have. Him,
and this is the problem when you do it that way. That's why it typically doesn't work.
I am leery of him. I know Bill Belichick said some very nice things about him. Again,
raved.
Yeah. To your point, you know, when Chop was destroying them, they beat Penn State by just running the football over and over and over again. I don't know how good he is because I don't know how often he was asked for the national champions to go win the game for them. Is that a fair question to wonder?
Yeah, but you talk to some folks around the NFL, especially guys that went to his pro day, and again, take it for what it's worth. What you love about him is it didn't bother him that, hey, I'm gonna hand the ball off 35 straight times because that's what it's going to take to win this game.
Right.
A lot of quarterbacks ain't about that life. I want to throw for 350, and I want to be a Heisman candidate and all this other stuff. And the folks that were there raved about the arm talent, raved about the decision-making, and with Belichick going through and breaking down that film on making the right play at the right time. And if you watch the big games that he played in, he made big plays when the money was on the table, and that's where it is. But in fairness, too, Belichick also went into 2-for-12 in the Alabama game on third down. And third down, I've said this a million times, quarterback plays great. Can you make the play at 3rd and 6 when you have to stay in the pocket and make a throw? Are you going to consistently do it? That's how you win in the NFL. Everything's hunky-dory when it's 1st and 2nd down, and I got everything at my disposal. But the money's on the table on 3rd and 6+ when you don't know if they're going to blitz, you don't know the cover, you have to go sit back there, and you know Johnny Newton or Chop Robinson's going to come and drill you in the throat. Are you going to stay in there and hang in and make that throw and be accurate when you do it? Those are the questions that have to be answered.
All right, Jesse, let's do one more text before we get to trivia.
Yeah, you put up the signal for Jana in Pittsburgh. Didn't get her, but we got Erica in Milwaukee weighing in. The big controversy last night was the Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th pick. What's interesting to me, says Erica, is the media freaking out about Kirk Cousins not being notified about the quarterback pick. But the media didn't freak out for Aaron Rodgers when Green Bay took Jordan Love in 2020.
Erica.
The hell we didn't.
Oh, the media completely went crazy when that happened.
I mean, the guy was on with Pat McAfee at the time of the pick and was talking about how they were expecting them to finally take a skill position offensive player, and they did, and it was a quarterback. And then all the stuff about pouring himself a scotch and we definitely freaked out. And I was among them, and I was very critical that he did not get a heads up. So I think there was plenty of freak out. Maybe it was just that it was COVID times, and there wasn't quite as much, people consuming the freak out. Or maybe it didn't play out the same on television. But there was plenty of freak out. Do you think Kirk Cousins should be irritated? Where do you fall in the Kirk Cousins part of this?
I think Kirk Cousins, I can understand why he'd be frustrated, but he's got $100 million guaranteed. He's going to be the quarterback for 2 years, and Kirk knows the business. He's lived it. He's played it. He's won. He is won. One of the very few guys that have beaten the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, tough break, Kirk, but you're going to still be the guy. You're going to get the opportunity to do it. I think Atlanta knows they got a punishment coming on draft picks, and I think they know if we don't go now, we might not get one. And that's why they reached. I think Atlanta's going to really struggle unless Kirk Cousins is really good. I am not a Michael Penix guy at all.
It's not a great first impression for him, though. Like, at least Rodgers was with the team for 15 years or whatever the case was when they drafted Jordan. Like, Kirk Cousins just got there. And the first thing they do is like, hey, we didn't give you a heads up, but we're taking a quarterback here to help groom for the future. Like, money aside, that just seems like something you would want to tell your new quarterback who you just paid a bunch of money to.
Yeah, I don't think the Atlanta ownership and how they set it up, when you look at that Belichick story and how they're structured, I don't think it's a very sound organization.
It's very fair. Very fair. All right, Jesse, what's today's category for trivia? What caller do you want?
Yesterday we did Packers first-round picks. Today we do Packers second-round picks for Wildy and Tom.
How is
trivia.
Atlanta going to try and compare their situation to Green Bay's? I love the fact that this Green Bay narrative is catching on. People are starting to, hey, maybe we shouldn't play our guy right away.
Right.
But they're trying to do that. Anytime that it just tells you how dysfunctional. You think because people are billionaires that they're geniuses. They're probably geniuses in what they did to become a billionaire. I don't necessarily think that that's the same case when it comes to football.
They showed the draft room in Atlanta, and it sure looked to me like the GM was explaining to Arthur Blank why they drafted a quarterback when he just doled out $100 million to Kirk Cousins. That was the vibe I got. Because it looked like there was some, right? There was no audio, so I could be 1,000% wrong. But that was the impression that I got from that exchange between the GM and Arthur Blank.
Body language did not seem friendly.
Right, exactly. And Tausch, to your point, you're right. But Kirk Cousins is going to turn 36 on August 19th. So he plays two seasons as their starter, and then Penix is ready. It is taking the Packers approach. It's not doing it with a Hall of Fame player, but it is that approach, and there's no denying they reached. And I am doubtful of Michael Penix, too, but maybe this is going to give him a better chance to succeed in the NFL than if he had gone to a team where he had to play
Penix
right away.
Penix is older than Jordan Love.
He's very close in age. Yeah, he was at Indiana. He was in college for a long time.
You look at this and you say, another advantage of Green Bay Packers. That's why organizational structure and support matter. Atlanta doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Michael Penix.
Pretty abundantly clear.
Michael Penix turns 24 on May 8th. So he will be 24. Jordan Love is 25.
Okay.
But Jordan Love came into the league, he was 20. And he turned 21. During his first year. So, all right, we need to get to trivia. Caller 10, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 10 to play Wilde and Tausch second round trivia. Tausch, tell us about Fortria before we get to trivia.
Yeah, we saw the excitement, all the folks that went into Detroit. And that, if you want to get up there, get hotels, and get up for the Packers draft next year in Green Bay, or if you want to get to Brazil and go watch the Pack, and you're looking for extra spending cash, Fortria has got you covered. A couple of different studies, healthy males and females, non-childbearing potential, ages 18 to 65, with a BMI of 18 to 35. Study involves one stay, four nights, three follow-ups, and you can make $4,430 for your time and participation. If you refer a friend, another $300 per qualified referral. Go to FortriaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortria, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Before we get to trivia, news from the National Basketball Association moments ago. I don't think this comes as any surprise. However, the Bucks have officially ruled out Giannis Antetokounmpo for Game 3 this afternoon at 4:30 against the Indiana Pacers. What was that face for? You're disappointed or you're not surprised?
No,
right?
I wasn't expecting it, but he was doing a little something the other day. I don't think he's going to play this series at all, and I think the Bucks are going to get beat. And I think it's going to be a long, cold Siberian summer here with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Pivotal Game 3 this afternoon, 4:30 tip. Jesse, what time on ESPN Madison does the coverage begin?
100.5 ESPN, 620 WTMJ, 4 o'clock pregame with Justin Garcia, and Dave Kane has the call for the tip.
I like
four.
That, Justin.
Do you think JG's still optimistic, or is he... Is he starting to come to grips that this thing might go south?
I think he's hopeful. I don't know if he's optimistic. I am optimistic about trivia. We did put an end to our perfect week, so the pressure is off. But we do have a first-time contestant. A little late on the button there, Jesse.
Sorry.
Let's welcome in Kevin in Pleasant Prairie. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm glad I finally got through to you guys.
You've been trying for a while?
Yes, I have.
All right. Yes. Well, we're excited for
you.
Awesome. Good.
Okay.
All right. Well, here we go. The category is Packers second and third round picks. With the first question, we go to a former seventh round pick, Tausch.
All right, KPP, in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Packers traded with the Minnesota Vikings to move up in the second round to draft which of these players? Is it Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, or Amari Rodgers? And it still might work out.
Christian Watson.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you getting after Tier 1 Tyler. That wasn't that funny. You even had to play the laugh track for the Amari Rodgers.
No, it wasn't
one.
Good at all.
I'm working on 4 hours sleep here. Give me a break.
We're all tired, Jesse.
Oh, what a grinder. Oh,
we're all
thank
tired.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right, Kev, here's question two.
Actually, I feel pretty good. I'm
Montage covers all mistakes this week.
You have done a great job on the montages since you're fishing for a compliment. Here we go.
Thanks,
Kevin,
Jason.
Question two. Following the selection of Jordan Love in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft, the Packers drafted which of these players in the second round? Second round pick in 2020. Was it Josiah DeGuara, John Runyon Jr., or A.J. Dillon?
I'll say A.J. Dillon.
Two for two. All right, Tausche.
Chance for a one-hitter.
Yeah.
Oh, one hitter. Here we go. Which of these defensive players from Iowa was a second-round draft selection by the Green Bay Packers? Is it Mike Daniels, Josh Jackson, or Micah Hyde?
Oh, brother. Let's see. Second round, I'll say Mike Daniels.
A late ninth-inning infield single, so we end up with a two-hitter this week. Mike Daniels, a fourth-round pick out of Iowa. Micah Hyde, a sixth-round pick out of Iowa. Josh Jackson, a second-round pick. Didn't play like one. That was Jesse's guy who's going to be better than Jair Alexander. He turned out to be wrong about that. Kev, you still got two out of three right. That means you got three of the possible four entries. Still got a chance. The drawing's coming up next. Thanks for playing for the first time. Thanks for your loyalty to the show, man.
Thank you. I want to say to Mark Tasher, thank you for all your hard work to make us a champion on the field.
I appreciate you. Aww. You know what? Give him a third entry. Let's get four entries for KP. Can we do that?
No, suck it up to Tausch. Does not get you an extra entry. You can check the official contest rules at ESPNWisconsinContest.com.
Taking shrapnel from you two for the last 2 weeks. I should get an extra couple points. I should get be able to hand out a couple extra entries for especially Kevin's first time appearance, I think. But I will follow and abide by the rules of entries.com. So I'm fine with that.
Tell us about Quick Trip. Thank you for your service.
I would love to. Brewers tickets. If you're looking for Brewers tickets, we got all kinds of opportunities to do that. And you know what I love at a Brewers game? I love ice cream in the helmet. And with Quick Trip, you can make your own right at home. Right now, get Nature's Touch ice cream. 1 gallon pails for $4.99. Vanilla or chocolate or both. And if you want to get a little bit less, if you don't want the gallon, I'm telling you, I love that turtle pecan sundae. Oh, baby, my kids love it. It is the best ice cream you're going to get. And, of course, why we love it so much, it's fresh from the Quick Trip Dairy right in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Perfect for enjoying the final few innings or for when the neighborhood kids are coming over. Ice cream and baseball, just like Iowa draft picks and the Green Bay Packers, a great combination.
More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
All right, we want to leave some extra time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, because our friend Marco Siki has his casting
Oz.
For kids.
Ozinator.
You and I both love Oz, and I love the fact that he has continued that tradition despite him and Coach Granato being gone from coaching the men's hockey team. So I think that's pretty cool. So we're going to spend some time with him, catching up with him. Tausch, because we have that set aside, what are your hopes for tonight?
I really hope.
Do you hope for Cooper DeJean? We're hoping to hear Bulaga say his name, but if they don't pick him, I'm okay with that.
That would be fun. I think if we all looked at it last night, I think these guys have a better sense of who's going where and where they're valued. I think it would be great if he fell and that's where Green Bay goes because it's a position of need. And I think everybody assumes he's going to be a really good player. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think, and I'm not just, I think pass rush is still super important.
Mm.
And while they have guys, I like Rashawn Gary, hopefully Kingsley can come back and be healthy. That interior pass rush, and I'm not just saying this because I watched him, but I know these guys a little bit better because I've seen and watched them play, and I saw how disruptive Johnny Newton was. Mm-hmm. Chop, obviously, other people feel the same way I did. Miami took him earlier than I think most people thought.
Yeah.
He's a disruptor. So while there's plenty of positions, and if they go with another solid offensive lineman, I'll be happy there too. But I think getting some impact players on the defensive side of the ball, and then if there's that linebacker that they feel good about, that they can get. You're looking tonight, and even though we're raving about how strong this roster is with what Goody's done the last couple years, there's still some spots. And there's availability for these guys, whoever they draft tonight, if it's at some of these spots, they could be starters on a team that we're all going to think is Super Bowl contenders. So I'm not, like, caught up that we have to get DeGene or we have to get this guy or whatever. But I am really hoping one of these two picks tonight, old boy from Illinois, comes a-calling, because I think Packer fans will love how good this player is going to be.
We focused a lot on the second round. They have 88 and 91 in the third round. If they take all four picks or exercise four picks and move around a little bit, any chance that it's a running back or a wide receiver or a tight end? Because those are positions that you don't pick running backs early these days, and they seem pretty good at receiver and tight end. But would that surprise you at all in the third round?
I don't think it would surprise me if there's somebody that Goody, kind of like how Tucker Kraft fell, they had him ranked with Musgrave, and nobody drafted him, and it's like, well, it's just too much value. And we saw Musgrave gets hurt, Tucker Kraft emerges. You feel good about those two, but if it's somebody that you feel really good about, I would love to see them, if it's in that third round, if there's a back that they think can become the bell cow that has a little different skill set than Jacobs and Dillon. I want to see him pull the trigger on that too.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see if it's whether it's Garendo, and again, it's not just because I saw some clips of old Morgan getting out in space. That's something that's more and more being done, and when you have the receiving core that we think Green Bay is building, and Reed is good at some of this stuff, I would love to see that element. The Packers screen game has not been very good. Outside of the Aaron Jones railroad screen early in the season, I didn't see a lot of that executed well. Those are things that I'd like to see. So if it's a running back tonight, I'd be happy with that too.
I think it would be really interesting if they get, whether it's Edgerrin Cooper or the Michigan linebacker, Junior Colson. I think it'll be really interesting to see what they try to do at linebacker, because we've poo-pooed the idea, oh, it's a 4-3, but they're always in nickel anyway, it doesn't really matter. I think we could find out a little bit. I'm always interested in finding things out about what the thought process is. If they use a pick tonight on linebacker, it tells me that maybe linebacker is a little more important than we have been led to believe.
And I think, in fairness, the Blake Martinez era, and I think some of the things where Ted looked at and how he approached that position, Goody has changed. I think it's changed because the teams that have beaten Green Bay in the playoffs slapped them in the face with it.
Yeah, you're right.
Tampa Bay slapped them in the face with really strong middle linebacker play. Obviously, San Francisco, their run, I think you could put a lot of it on the fact that their inside linebackers are dogs. And I think the Green Bay Packers under Goody, and now especially with this change in approach and a defensive coordinator, I think you look at it and there is no doubt they went with Quay Walker a couple years ago. They're going to expect big things from him. I would be surprised if one of these four picks, if they stand pat tonight, isn't one of those off-the-ball linebackers that they feel can continue to come in and contribute in a way that San Fran and Tampa, when the teams have beaten Green Bay, that position now is more and more important because of what quarterbacks are able to do with read option. You can't be an old slow plotter. You got to be multidimensional that can do it all. And you better do it with one of these earlier picks, because typically the speed part of it, that's what people are looking for, and that's typically why they go first, second, third round.
Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints with our buddy Mark Osiki for Casting for Kids, coming up later in May, is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints and the 6th annual Casting for Kids Fishing Tournament to benefit the American Family Children's Hospital and the UW Carbone Cancer Center is Saturday, May 18th on Lakes Kaganza, Monona, Mendota, and Wabisa. But it's time to talk to Oz. Our good buddy Mark Osiki joins us. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. What are you doing having me on a Feel Good Friday? I don't know if I can make that a Feel Good Friday.
No, come on. This is 6 years. I think we've talked to you every year before you've done it. We're excited that you're still doing it. Why is this so important to you? Because as I said to you previously, you know, you guys, things have changed professionally for you, and yet you're keeping the tournament going, and I love it. Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you mention cancer, you mention Children's Hospital, it's going to touch so many different people. And it's so cool to be able to see and put smiles on people's faces. If we can raise money, it's awesome. But our biggest thing is that we're raising awareness, and we continue to grow our events. So, I mean, it hits home. Obviously, you see this year with Tony Granato being diagnosed, and Kelly Chase, another hockey friend of ours. One of my cousins got diagnosed. One of my childhood grade five. I've known the guy since grade five, and he got diagnosed. So it just hits home. And then you throw in the Children's Hospital and how many unfortunate kids there are out there and families dealing with unfortunate things. It's something that we are all excited about and obviously very passionate about.
Oz, how's Tony doing? We haven't, when's the last time you talked to him, and how's his healing process going?
Well, I talk to him every day. I talked to him this morning. He's good. His attitude and mentality is awesome. He talks about this as being a healing process, and he's doing great. I mean, the people at Carbone are phenomenal. And then he sees some other doctors out in New York at times, but he's doing well. Obviously gets run down a little bit, but his mentality is outstanding, and his passion for hockey still is out there, and it's awesome watching him on the Blackhawks telecast and NHL Network.
And he is one of a kind. I know that Mike Lucas was diagnosed with colon cancer back in February, and he gets a text message from Tony Granato every day, he wrote in the Cap Times, to try and pump him up as he goes through that battle. All right, Oz, I wish we had more time for you. Take us through what people need to know. I know there's I think you've got 80 boats that'll be out there. Are those all spoken for? Is there still time to get in the boat? And then what else can people do if they're like me and they would need you to bait their hook for them?
Yeah, we're capping off at 80 boats. There's still some room, although they are starting to fill up pretty quickly now as the weather's starting to turn. So we're going to need some butts and seats and boats. And then if people want to come to the dinner auction afterwards, it's a fast-paced live auction. Bring the auctioneer of the year in the state of Wisconsin in to do our event, and it's pure entertainment. So people can go to casting4kids.org, look up all the information, and then we'll also have an online auction that will be up and live. We're hoping by May 1st that will be up and live, that we'll have a link on our website as well. A lot of cool items. We have Alumacraft jumping on board again and really stepping up their sponsorship. We'll be raffling off a really high-end, nice boat this year. It's a great opportunity for people to come in and walk away with some pretty good items, not just outdoor fishing items, not just hockey items, although we do have a lot of really cool hockey items, but other sporting items and a lot of trips, a lot of experiences to be able to go to NHL cities, take in a game, get a behind-the-scenes tour, high-five the players, watch the warm-ups from benches, whatever. There's a lot of pretty cool things. And what we end up doing, or what I end up doing, is whoever ends up winning that, I try to make contact with that NHL club and some of the people that I know and make it really special for them once they're there.
Oz, we love the fact that you continue to do this. I haven't seen you since you and Tony were at a Packers training camp practice. I hope to see you again down the road. Thanks for everything you're doing. Again, it's casting4kids.org if you want to help support the cause. Oz, you're the best, buddy. It's always good to catch up with you. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great Friday.
That is the great Marco Siki, one of the all-time greats in Badger hockey history and one of the all-time great guys. All right, Tausch. Day two of the draft tonight and game three of Bucks Pacers.
Fig Newton. Let's go.
Fig Newton, no matter what, on his post-it note, on his drink. That's it for us today. Thanks to Brian Bulaga for joining us. Thanks to Mark Osiki. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Take care. Be good.